Be Daily Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Martin, and I'll be taking you guys through the latest in the world of mixed martial arts. You guys can follow me on Twitter at MMAdamMartin. This podcast, as always, is available at MMAoddsBreaker.com. Go to our YouTube channel. Please like, share, subscribe, tell your friends about it. And also check me out at BJJapan.com and MMARays.net. I apologize for my voice. I'm not feeling 100% today, so hopefully that doesn't interfere with the show. But got a lot to talk about today. Quite a bit of news and a fight announcement that I think you guys want to hear about. So let's get right into it. First thing I want to say is I will be going to Vegas for UFC 245, which is going to be sweet. It's crazy, right? I've been covering this sport since 2011, and I've never been to Vegas, so it's crazy. I've been to all the events in Toronto. I've been to Brazil, Rio, been to Montreal a bunch of times. But, man. Never Vegas. So first time ever. I'm just going to go with my girlfriend. It's going to be sweet. We're going to go for a week. I'm excited as hell. So I'm waiting in December, and I will be there for UFC 245. Just as a fan who's going to be watching the show, it's going to be awesome. I deserve a break, and I'm looking forward to it. So it's going to be sweet. Hopefully I can see some of you guys. If any of you guys will be in Vegas for that card, definitely hit me up. I'd love to meet up. It'd be cool to have like a MMA OB daily event or something like that. It'd be sweet. So definitely hit me up if you guys will be in Vegas for that card. And I want to start with that card right now. UFC 245, it looks like the main event is going to be Kamaru Usman versus Colby Covington. That's according to Ariel Helwani on the Reporters podcast. He says that the UFC is definitely interested in booking that fight for this card, and it looks like it's getting closer. So the UFC obviously wanted to book this fight for UFC 244. It didn't happen. In a way, I feel like it worked out pretty well because now we have Nate Diaz versus Jorge Masvidal for 5 rounds, and I feel like that fight should be 5 rounds. So it worked out okay, in my opinion. And now we'll have 3 title fights at UFC 245. We already have confirmation Max Holloway is going to fight Alexander Volkanovski. We already have confirmation that Jermaine Duran will be fighting Amanda Nunes, and now it looks like we're going to have Kamaru Usman against Colby Covington. So that's going to be a really good fight, obviously. 3 title fights on that card. That card's just amazing. I can't wait for that card. I'm going to be there, so I'm excited. And yeah, as far as the title fight goes between Usman and Covington, it's a fight everyone wants to see. It's a grudge match. It's a fight that needs to happen. And, you know, I think once the UFC started saying that Leon Edwards could possibly get that title shot, I think Colby realized that, you know what, I gotta take whatever the UFC's offering me. If I had to guess and say with Usman, he's like, you know what, this is a bigger fight than the Leon Edwards fight. That's a big fight too, but Colby Covington obviously is a bigger fight. So I'm looking forward to this matchup. I think it's going to be a really good one. And UFC 245, that card, like I said, is shaping up to be so good. I'm going to pull it again just because I'm so excited for it. So, again, it's not official yet, but it looks like Covington's going to fight Usman. And then you have Holloway, Volkanovski, Nunez, Jermaine Dumi, Jessica Ivers, Vivian Araújo, which is a pretty good flyweight fight. And then 2 really good welterweight fights between Matt Brown, Ben Saunders, and Robbie Lawler, and Santiago Ponzinibbio. So this card looks absolutely fantastic. The second last card of the year, the last one will be that card in South Korea a week later. But yeah, this card looks amazing. So I'm looking forward to it. And Usman vs. Covington is going to be a good one. All right, speaking about good fights, Jeremy Stephens, Yair Rodriguez, the UFC's rebooked the fight for UFC Boston, the co-main event. And this really makes a lot of sense because that card just lost Calvin Kattar versus Zabit Magomedsharipov to the UFC Moscow card. They needed a co-main event for this card. The main event is Chris Weidman versus Dominic Reyes. That's a great fight. I honestly don't even know if that fight goes the full 5 rounds, so I'm not even sure if the 5 rounds is necessary, but that was booked first, so it's all good. I really do wish that Stevens-Rodriguez was a 5-round fight because I feel like this fight could go the full 25 minutes, but either way, this is a great matchup, as we all know. And I feel like it's even bigger now than it once was a few weeks ago. I feel like there's more heat between the two guys. It's more of a grudge. Guys were talking so much smack to each other. And, you know, now Stevens will get a chance to fight in his backyard of America against Rodriguez, who's going to come up from Mexico. Rodriguez said yesterday he called Stevens a quitter. Stevens obviously is not taking kindly to that. He got raked in the eyes, and now he's being labeled as a quitter by not just Rodriguez, but a lot of really uneducated fans as well. Anyways, this fight's going to take place at UFC Boston in just a few weeks, so I'm excited for it. I favored Rodriguez the first time they fought. I have to think about it a little bit more. I feel like the fact it's going to take place in the States and it's only 3 rounds could favor Stevens. So I'll think about it a bit more, but definitely a great fight. I'm really excited for it. The UFC lightweight champion, Khabib Nurmagomedov, his manager, Razman, has spoken to a Russian news outlet, and he says that Khabib will probably fight in February or March of 2020, and he wants to fight in St. Petersburg, Russia, in a 75,000-seat stadium, which to me makes a lot of sense. I wanted to see this fight in December at UFC 245. Tony Ferguson wanted it then, But Habib obviously just fought a few weeks ago. I think he does deserve a little bit of a break right now. He's had a couple of fights this year. He just fought in September. I felt like December was a quick turnaround for him. For Tony, he hasn't fought since June, so that made sense. But for Habib, February or March makes a little bit more sense for him. The UFC has not announced any sort of cards for the new year. No fights, nothing. So we don't really have no idea, but it looks like they are going to go to Russia. That's been rumored for a long time for a pay-per-view. And Habib versus Tony Ferguson is the perfect main event for that card. 75,000 seat stadium, which if they filled it out would break the UFC record for most attended events. So I think this makes a ton of sense. UFC definitely could fill the stadium with Habib Nurmagomedov headlining that card in Russia. And against Tony Ferguson, that's a fight that every MMA fan will want to see. So I know the fight's been booked four times in the past. And it looks like there's a bit of a hex on it, but we all have to see this fight, and the UFC has to book it. And if they're smart, they book someone like Justin Gaethje in the co-main event just in case there's an injury, and then you shift them up to the main event. I think you have to do that. You have to have a backup plan of some sort. So Habib Nurmagomedov looks like he's going to be returning in early 2020, and I'm excited for that. Marlon Moraes, he wants to fight UFC 245. I mean, this card is just, if this fight happens, it's going to be stacked because Marlon Moraes called out Jose Aldo, and he wants to fight him at UFC 245. And again, it's a fight that makes a lot of sense. Like, these guys are making sensible call-outs. And these are exciting fights, too. So Marlon Moraes, obviously coming off the loss to Henry Cejudo. And it wasn't a great performance for him. He gassed out really quickly and got finished by strikes, which I think surprised all of us. But the guy before that had easily been the number one contender in that division. Four straight wins, three by stoppage in the first round over Rafael Sunsell, Jimmy Rivera, and Aljamain Sterling. I feel like he's almost forgotten about now just because he had one loss. But he's definitely an incredible talent, and 22-6-1 record, only 31 years old. Marlon Moraes is a stud. He wants to fight Jose Aldo in his bantamweight debut in Las Vegas. And I feel like they might save Aldo for a fight in Brazil, if I had to guess. But, man, this fight would be great, and especially in that card in Vegas. It's just perfect. Put it in the opening up the main card. You have three title fights. You put this fight, and then you put Robbie Lawler versus Santiago Ponce debut. That's an amazing main card, like amazing. So I'd love to see this matchup again. Aldo, he is on decline now. I was at his last fight in Rio when he fought Alexander Volkanovski. He lost the decision there. He didn't look good in that fight. But before that, he had won two straight fights by knockout over Jeremy Stephens and Renato Bocano. So the Volkanovski fight, I think, showed that he's not that elite guy at 145. And clearly he feels the same way because he's going to be dropping down a weight class now, most likely. But still, the guy's super dangerous, super experienced, super talented. Marlon Moraes for Jose Aldo, that's a dream fight. The leg kicks alone would be so fun to watch. So I want to see this fight. I love the call over here by Marlon Moraes. It's a fight that makes a lot of sense. And he even said, he's like, I'm the number one contender. If Jose Aldo beats me, he deserves a title shot. And if I beat him, I should probably get a title shot. That makes sense to me. So Jose Aldo versus Marlon Moraes, not official by any means, but definitely a fight that it looks like Moraes wants. And we'll see if Aldo responds to him. I know he wants to fight Henry Cejudo. But honestly, he really should have to get at least one win. When there's so many other guys in line at 135 and at 125 versus Cejudo, Aldo should have to get one win. If he goes out there and beats Moraes, if he finishes Marlon Moraes, give him that title shot against Henry Cejudo at 135. All right, next up, Eddie Alvarez, unfortunately, has pulled out of the one lightweight championship tournament. That's unfortunate. I mean, that was going to be a fun matchup for him as well. Eddie Alvarez going to the finals there. The guy, he obviously has struggled a little bit in one. He had that loss to Timothy Nastyukin by stoppage, but he did submit to Edward Falyang in his last fight. But yes, he is injured, and now Christian Lee will replace him in the finals. So that's the brother of Angela Lee. That should be okay, but still, I think everyone was looking forward to Eddie Alvarez fighting the finals. And if I'm not mistaken, that card will be aired live on TNT in the States. So that was a card that one was counting on for the Americans they signed in Alvarez, Demetrius Johnson, and Sage Northcutt, who's also injured. So hasn't really worked out to the plan that one wanted originally, but still, Eddie Alvarez obviously was a great signing by them, and he'll be returning hopefully in the new year, I would say. I doubt this injury's super serious or anything like that, but yeah, Eddie Alvarez, he is 35 now, so clearly not the guy he once was, but still a great fighter, and you can't discount some of the wins this guy has. Justin Gaethje, Rafael Dos Anjos, Michael Chandler, Anthony Pettis. I mean, he's one of the greatest fighters of all time as far as lightweights go. So hopefully he can heal up quickly, get back in one, and probably fight for the lightweight belt, if I had to guess, in this next fight, even though he probably won't be – well, he's not in this tournament anymore. LFA, I want to mention them quickly. LFA does a great job, obviously, with just really developing young prospects. And so many LFA fighters have made it to the UFC and other promotions. They used to be called Legacy Fighting Championships. Mick Maynard ran that promotion, and they merged with RFA, Resurrection Fighting Alliance, which Ed Suarez ran. Ed Suarez, the manager of Anderson Silva. So Ed Suarez is still running LFA. LFA was recently, okay, so they had a deal with Access TV. Anthem Sports Network just bought Access TV, and the people at Access, like Phoenix Caravel and a few other MMA people, they lost their jobs, unfortunately, which sucks, but they were bought out by a bigger company, of course. And Anthem mostly does professional wrestling, but they do own the Fight Network, if I'm not mistaken, here in Toronto. And they do some MMA, so I don't think it's completely out of the question that they do some live MMA events in the future. However, according to Ed Suarez, LFA isn't in the cards. He says that they're looking for a new television partner, and that those fights will not be happening on Anthem. So right now, LFA will be running their event this Friday, but according to Suarez, they're going to be taping it for future viewing, which is just really weird to me. There's no way they can get an internet stream for that. Kind of strange. He also said that they're postponing LFA 78 and 79. So very unfortunate that LFA's events are being postponed, but I mean, it's the right thing to do. Obviously, they don't have a television partner. Hopefully that works out quickly. LFA is a very important, I think, promotion because, again, they develop so many prospects. If I had to guess, I feel like their fights are going to end up on UFC Fight Pass, but we'll see what happens. And last thing, excuse me, the last thing I wanted to mention was Bellator veteran Katie Collins passed away yesterday, age 32, due to a brain aneurysm and related complications. Just wanted to send along my condolences to the family of Katie Collins. Very sad stuff. Her manager and coach, JT Tilley, confirmed the news yesterday. Very unfortunate. She suffered a brain aneurysm last week. And from what I was reading, someone on Reddit, I think, is very well connected to her. He is kind of like an anonymous person, but he said that I think she had seizures and she had to go for a second surgery and just didn't work out. So very sad to hear. Katie Collins went 2-1 in Bellator. She had a 7-5 record as a professional fighter. Fought a couple notable fighters, but yes, 2-1 record in Bellator. So a winning fighter in Bellator, unfortunately, passes away. She's also an LFA veteran, so a little bit of a connection there. But yeah, very sad stuff. Only 32, so you know, it's very shocking, I'm sure, for her family and for her friends. So just wanted to pass along my condolences to Katie Collins and her family. And I think that's all I want to talk about today. I'm just double checking to see if I missed anything. I should mention that the odds are out for Bellator 227 and Bellator 228, which is sweet. So I'll be posting the opening odds reactions today on MMAOddsBreaker.com. It's got to look at them a little bit more. But yes, we have odds for Gallagher, Salazar, and Quelli Scope, in addition to Henderson, Jury, and Paige Kiley. That's for Bellator 227. And for Bellator 228, we already had the odds for Archuleta and Pitbull and Musasi Machida. Now we have odds for the other featherweight tournament fights between Caldwell and Corrales, Feischl and Rogers, and McKee and Karakanyan. So good fights. And also, I should mention, UFC 243 has full odds as well. So that's pretty good. That card's not as stacked, I think, as some of us thought originally it was going to be, but it definitely has, you know, two great fights at the top between Adesanya and Whitaker and I, Quinton Hooker. So there's a couple of really good fights, but some weaker fights in the prelims, and also like the main card's not great. Like Sergey Spivak versus Ty Tuivasa on the main card, that to me is a prelim fight, so it's not a great card. But obviously the main event is a fight everyone wants to see, and that card happens in 2 weeks, so I'm looking forward to that. But of course, this weekend, UFC Copenhagen, and myself and Cole Sheldon, we did the full breakdown podcast on Tuesday on this channel, so go and check that out if you missed it. And I think that's all I want to talk about today, guys. So once again, thanks for tuning in to today's episode of the MMA OB Daily Podcast. I apologize for my voice. I'm a little under the weather right now. The weather's been changing. Whenever that happens, I usually get a little bit sick. So I apologize for my voice there, cracked a few times. Anyways, you guys can check me out on Twitter at @MMAdamMartin. And this podcast is available, as always, at MMAOddsBreaker.com. And on our YouTube channel, please like, share, subscribe, tell your friends about it. Also, check me out at BJPenn.com and MMAratings.net. Guys, once again, thanks for tuning in to today's edition of the MMA OB Daily Podcast. I'll be back tomorrow for the Friday edition of the show. Have a good one, guys. I'll see you later. Bye.